Welcome to Black Ink Cinema Podcast. We are at the home of Gin and Tonic Distillery based in Stratford. And if you can hear any noise in the background, that's because there's a few people enjoying some cocktails. But I'm here joined with the amazing Monroe Martin.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. He will be telling us a little bit about himself and why he picked the film that he picked. What brings you here to London?
Well, I originally came here as a vacation. This was a gift to my wife.
Oh.
And then once I booked it, I'm like, yo, I need to perform. I'm like, this is a comedy city.
Yes, of course.
So I set up some dates. I'm here. I'm having fun. I've done 3 shows so far.
Mm-hmm.
I got 2 more left.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
How have you found the difference in audiences, the U.S. audience, U.K.?
Well, here's the thing about the U.S. All audiences aren't the same.
Mm.
Like New York gives you that global feel. So New York is the closest I get to performing for, like, it'll be the closest to performing for people over here.
Yeah.
Right? Because New York is very international.
Yes.
Where if I go to, like, Charlotte, North Carolina, it's a different feeling, because everybody's from Charlotte down there.
Right.
So, also, here's the thing that people hate hearing, but conservatives back in America are the best audiences.
Why do you say that?
Because they just don't care.
Okay, that's interesting.
That is meaning, not saying they're rude or anything, they just don't, they allow you to say what you need to say to make your point, to be like, oh, that's funny. Where there's other audiences, like liberal audiences, will sometimes be like, don't you say that.
Yes. The PC police.
So. And I haven't dealt with that here.
Okay. Oh, that's,
you know what I mean? Like I've said, he's seen my set. Am I allowed to point off camera?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I break the fourth wall?
Yeah.
This is about movies, right?
So, shout out, Adam.
And storytelling. What up, Adam? But Adam's seen my show.
Yeah.
And it's real. People say it's dark, but I don't think it's dark. I just talk about my real life and what I've been through. And I use that as layer to also just say goofy shit.
Yes.
And the audience didn't get sensitive.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, bring it on. Okay, all right.
I think it's that British humor. We've got a dark sense of humor.
It's weird.
We laugh at
embrace
things
it.
That we shouldn't laugh at.
No, laugh at all of it.
You touched upon what you've been through in your life.
Yeah.
For those people who don't know, do you want to just elaborate a little bit more?
So, from Philadelphia, PA.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Will Smith. Still in my heart, baby.
Pause.
So like, oh, no, not pause.
No, I'll play.
Okay.
I'll play. We love Will.
I love Will, man.
Yes.
He, like, just because you smack somebody, you get, like, I'm not going to disown you.
Yeah, no.
Chris Rock came from Philly.
Yeah, we've all done.
Yeah. But from Philadelphia, grew up in the foster care system.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It
was
and
up and down experience, but it was, nonetheless, it taught me a lot about life. It actually prepared me for what I do now, because I bounced around a lot. I lived in 15 different homes.
So you're adaptable. You learn to be adaptable like that.
Yeah, I can make friends quick. I can get acclimated really fast and get comfortable. So very adaptable.
Yeah. So. I almost think as well sometimes, because you're having to move around so much and be adaptable, that you learn how to be likable as well, which I think is a skill in itself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to quickly fit in.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the key is just to likability is just being yourself. It just made me adaptable. Growing up in foster care and bouncing around and stuff like that, it allowed me to just like get comfortable. And also, just be myself.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Off camera, we were talking about something that you wanted to do, which I found really interesting.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about just introducing people of color. We started off saying people of color.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to just introduce kids that are in care to this side of the business.
Yes.
Because people see entertainment and they go, oh, you got to be... you got to be a superstar.
You gotta
in
be
order
exceptional.
To,
yeah.
And it's like, you can, there's entry level jobs here where yes. you can get a feel for the business and you can see if you like it and see where you
figure
fit
where,
in.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Figure out what suits
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we were
yeah,
talking
most
about
of
that.
Them, most of the after school programs that I attended when I was younger, mm. they all. They made sure you were ready for life,
yeah.
but it maybe wasn't the life you wanted.
Yes.
Like, I was A-plus certified at, like, what was it, like 16? That means I can fix computers and stuff.
Sick.
But I don't do it now. Like, I know how to
oh my
do
God,
it.
So you could have gone into engineering.
I could have, but I engineered these jokes.
Tell them. Tell them.
But, yeah, like, they would, like, try to get you to do to go to the Army or yeah. Work in sanitation and stuff. And, mm. like, I get it. They're trying to make
be
sure.
Safe.
That you, yeah, that yeah. you do something guaranteed.
Yeah.
With something that has like a guaranteed success rate, but mm. nothing's guaranteed.
But they're
really.
Not really catering to the child or yeah. to the child's abilities as well, which I think a lot of teachers don't
yeah.
do as well.
Yeah,
let
absolutely.
Alone the care system. And mm-hmm. it's just like, you only realize that when you're a bit older and you're like, they didn't really hone in on my talents there.
Yeah. But I don't even get as mad as, at that because they don't know.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't... Most adults don't think there's anything past what they can see.
They're
or
on
their
reality.
Own capabilities.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
And they put that on people
yeah.
younger than them.
Parents especially.
You know,
they're
like, you can't do no backflip because I can't do no backflip.
Exactly.
This ain't a backflipping family.
Yeah, fear yeah. is instilled early doors.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, the yeah. control of
so
the mind.
That was the one thing that I would say I had is no one in fear instilled that fear in me.
Okay, that's good.
That, and it's weird that none of these foster parents I live with ever tried to make me be afraid to try anything in life. But they never encouraged it. They're
yeah.
like, do the fuck you want to do.
Yeah.
So you grow up hearing, I don't care, do what you want. Mm. And then you get older, and then you get a couple of people who go, you can do what you want. And you go,
oh, okay. Oh, maybe I'll try it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try this
maybe,
shit. Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it. But then you probably get a lot more people that are like, no, you shouldn't do that. Because
yeah.
they oh, can't yeah. understand it.
Yeah. I only had like maybe like one or two people who were like, I don't think it'll work out. And they're like, yeah, New York is gonna eat you up. I love New York.
Gosh.
I love living in New York.
So sinister, gosh. Oh my God. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I haven't been. I'd love to go though. No.
Oh my God,
no.
You gotta come.
I will.
Yeah,
I will. Yeah, that yeah. is. It's on the list. It's yeah. top of the list. You were talking about being your childhood. Mm-hmm. Were you a funny kid?
I think so. I don't know if they would think I was funny.
Were you like
you
a prankster,
I mean?
Or were you just like funny, making
I
people
think
laugh?
I was the person who would point out shit and mm-hmm. like be like, what. What is this?
Oh, okay.
You know what
Smart
I mean?
Kid.
Pranks, not really, but like stating the obvious or the not so obvious, that was also me.
Mm.
But also, I knew adult, like I already knew like certain things like innuendos. Like I know
oh,
how to
okay.
use innuendos. So I was kind of mature for my
yeah.
age. And certain adults, they're like, they take to it. They're like, oh, he can hang. And then some like, get the
no,
hell out of
you're
here.
A kid.
Like, yo, you're a child.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be knowing it. Like, because I would laugh at certain things they would say.
Right.
If, like, two adults were talking and
so
they would, like,
why
say
do you
something.
Understand
like,
this?
And they were like, what do you know about this? It's like, nah.
He grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and okay. I think that's a sign of, like, that you're probably naturally funny
yes.
if you can understand humor above you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I understand
yeah.
humor that I'm not even a part of. Like, I came out here, and some of the comics were doing very local things, but
right.
because I understood, like, the just the context of it, I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And I may
oh,
not
brilliant.
Understand the terminology and the slang and stuff, but I get the cadence and I'm going, oh, that's why they laughed at that. Yeah.
You understand it. You're mm-hmm, able to mm-hmm. put two or two together.
Yeah.
Do you find, because of your upbringing, you know, going around foster parents and foster homes and stuff, mm-hmm. did you use comedy to help you with...
As much as I could.
Okay, yes.
As much as I could.
Yeah.
But it probably got me in trouble more than it got me out of trouble.
Okay.
You know how many after-school programs I got kicked out of?
No way.
I got kicked out of so many after-school programs.
But why,
though?
Just
being funny, because they think funny is disruptive.
Okay,
because when you
yeah.
roast people, when you're like an adult, if you're a child and you have the ability to roast an adult to the point where they... like actually look at themselves and they go, what the fuck is wrong with me? When
yeah.
this kid is accurate, like when
yeah.
you're You ever roast an adult?
No.
Never?
No, I would usually get a backhand if that happened, as a kid anyway.
Wait, so in school, just y'all never did that? Like, y'all never just roasted the teacher just for coming to school
actually,
with, like, trash?
I was talking about this just the other day, that I was actually a really good kid. Like, I actually wish I was more, like, did that. Yeah, like, I did that more. God. I was just... I was a prefect. That's how good I was.
But look, you got your own show. I don't have my own goddamn show, so.
No, no, I wish I lived more of a kid instead of being taking things so serious.
Oh my God, I don't think I lived like a kid. I tried to explain this to an audience one day. I was like, it's a weird life when you grow up and then you start to see adults as, like,
oh no, yeah, that.
Where you go. No, you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
It's a weird
no,
thing.
I did that, and my thing is more challenging. So I would challenge adults when they would say certain things and be like, that doesn't make sense.
See, then we the same.
Yeah.
We the same.
But that would get me in trouble. That would get me in trouble.
I use humor. You just
I
use
just straight
your,
up.
Your wit.
I'm just straight you're up. Just I'm like, hey. No, maybe that doesn't make, and then clashes.
And you see how they react to that.
Oh my God, it's like, how dare you?
So that's the same with humor. You you saying funny things, you get everybody to laugh, and the teacher's like, not at my expense.
Oh God.
Not at my expense. So I would get kicked out of after school programs.
Yeah.
Some of the after school programs that I got kicked out of, I remember my first time being on TV.
How old were you?
I was like 27,
28.
Mm. Yeah. And it was Last Comic Standing, and like immediately after that, all the after school programs that ever kicked me out was like, yo, we would love for you to come back and perform.
Hell no.
Hell no.
No.
You kicked me out for the same shit.
Exactly. And now you want to be, no, that's really rude. I find that really,
the audacity though,
as well, for them to pick up the phone and be like, so.
And I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine.
Rude.
Yeah.
So, are there any comedians, past or present, who you think are the best at turning tragedy into comedy?
Past and present. Mm-hmm. Richard Pryor, of course. Mm. Love Richard Pryor. I love Damon Wayans.
Yes.
Damon Wayans is great. I don't think he gets brought up enough.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, obviously. Yep. Bill Burr, Patrice O'Neill. Then all my friends are really good, too. Derek Gaines, Dave Temple, Chloe Hilliard, Che. Got a lot of I like to surround myself around like comics who are like really like trying to master it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But there's so many comics that I think are like really good at like taking something fucked up.
Yeah.
And then just or and making it into beautiful origami. It was like, here's this fucked up thing I've been through.
Yeah.
A swan. A dove. Jesus, holy
that's like
shit.
My favorite thing about comedians. Mm-hmm. It's like they turn just something outlandish into like funny. And I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it's really funny.
But you should give in
but
to
you
that.
Should. No, absolutely. I laugh.
Yeah.
And then I question myself afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, that is
don't
really
question.
Terrible.
Don't question yourself. Don't look at my fucked up. So why is that?
Yeah, I'm fucked up. Literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's what I love about humor. Mm-hmm. You just, it's good to laugh. And there's no point wallowing, you know? Mm-hmm. You might as well just.
It ain't going to do nothing for
it's
you.
Not going to do anything.
Yeah, the day's still going to move forward.
This is it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's one of my favorite things about comedy.
Yeah.
Able
same.
To do that. Well, thank you. I feel like I know you a lot better.
Thank you.
on that note, what's your. I need to hear your
this
British accent.
This is my British accent. Bro. What's up, bro?
Love it.
I thought it was bruv, but it's bro.
Well,
I've
we say bruv as well, but bro.
Bro
is more.
Bro is more proper.
Yeah. Well, no, we just say that more now.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
There was a time where bruv was the thing, but now bro is like...
Why'd it go to bro?
I don't know. Just the evolution of the street talk.
And it's very low.
Yeah.
It's not loud. It's very... Oh,
what's up, bro?
Hey, bro.
Yeah, we mumble a lot.
Yeah, I can fit in here.
You'll give me a good time.
Yeah. Give me like a year. Hello.
You'll have a lot of jokes, actually. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that you'll just see. You're just like, this is comedic, and they don't even know it's funny.
I can't wait. Here's the thing that I noticed first. Very confrontational.
Oh, are we?
But not in a way that it gets physical. Just in a way where it's just like, I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
Because I don't like this moment, and I'd rather just get it out versus holding it in. Mm-hmm. And it's on everything. It's in every exchange. Mm. Like I went to get Chinese food with the producers of the show that I did with Adam.
Oh, he was there.
But he didn't get Chinese food with us. Mm. And we walked in, and then the people who sat us were very just...
Yeah. Abrupt.
Everybody, and even the way that they were speaking to each other, everybody was just very like, you didn't order that, so I'm not putting it in. Like, that type of thing.
And well, they're just like, rude. That's not even rude. No. That's just rude.
No, but it was like, it was everywhere.
But I think that's why when I go abroad, that I'm like, oh my God, these people are so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone is... so nice, because especially in London, I think outside London you won't get that experience. No. But
I didn't
think
it was anything wrong with it.
No, you shouldn't. There shouldn't be just.
They were
be nice.
Very just rude. Yeah. But it was refreshing. It was very like just.
Oh, you got the real direct. British experience, okay?
They were just direct.
Yeah.
And they said what they wanted to say, and if you said something like. I'm trying to remember.
They're quick with it.
They're quick with it.
They're
and I loved it. Yeah, I was just like, okay, because it doesn't get physical.
No. Everyone knows where they stand. Yeah. We're like, okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah, this is how we're doing it. Okay, fine.
Like, I learned carry on is fuck off.
Carry on.
If somebody tells you to carry on, like that happened at a comedy show.
No way.
And somebody was like, carry on. And the audience was like, ooh. And I was like, that wasn't rude. That was nice. And then afterwards, they was like, he basically told him to fuck off, or like keep it moving.
Yeah, it was,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, but that was very just. And nobody was like, what? What the fuck you saying?
Yeah,
to me?
I think we're very good at talking, not the physical stuff as much, but.
And growing up, being from Philly, that would absolutely
escalated.
It ended in something physical.
Oh shit! Okay.
And I like that. It's just like, what? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And they just go about their day. I'm like, yo, like this is
the cool.
Life. This is cool.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to hold shit in.
No, we do let things out. Quite
but often. y'all, like everyone walks aggressive.
Yeah. There especially on the underground.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, London Underground.
So many people almost bump me, but they don't bump me.
But you're tall, so it's all right. But when you're like, short like me,
Oh,
it's a war zone.
You're
oh my God, I have to walk with my elbows out.
Oh, so
fast.
You just take the hips. You're like,
yeah. That's my workout. That's my upper body workout every day. That's it. But we are here to celebrate all things black cinema.
All things black cinema.
And you chose the Wayne Brothers film Don't Be a Menace to Society whilst drinking your juice in the hood.
Wait, you ain't never seen a movie? The way you said that
because it
makes me think
I hadn't
seen it.
Well, I always just say "Don't be a menace." And then
don't
just,
be a menace.
Yeah,
okay, I had
just stop there.
But
I don't say the whole.
I didn't know if he seen it or not.
Oh no,
so
he's
I'll put
seen
it there
yeah,
for
yeah.
him.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
I would assume. Okay,
I have to say the whole. But don't be a menace.
Don't be a menace, people. One of the greatest comedies ever.
So why did you pick "Don't Be a Menace"?
It's just one of the first comedies that I saw as a child. I would say that movie came out what 96, 97.
It was big.
Yo.
Huge.
It was the first. 96.
It was, then I wasn't in high school. No,
we weren't in high school. We were young.
We were
but
too,
I didn't
yeah.
see that movie
until
later.
Yes,
right?
Same here.
And I remember seeing all the adults talk about it and like make the kids go upstairs when it's on and stuff like that. So when I finally got a chance to sit down and watch it, I was in high school. I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
And I was glued from the jump, from the opening scene.
It
was like, they shot my baby. They shot my baby. Oh, this ain't mine, right? Like, from that to just shot by shot, everything was a, like every scene ended in a punchline.
Yes.
But not even that. It was, all hoods are different. All poor cultures are different, but they have similarities.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to tell this story about a West Coast hood and this West Coast culture that I don't really identify with, but I understand because I see it outside in Philly, and I was able to see them make fun of it and not really glorify it like we're kind of taught to.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And watching them make fun of it was and not be called sellouts and all that stuff, and they did it in a way that was tasteful. Disruptive. It was just so many things at the same time, and for me to recognize that at a young age, I had my friends watching. Every time they came to visit me, I'd be sitting on the couch. They're like, "What the fuck are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm watching this," and they're like, "Come on!"
Yeah.
And then like 3 minutes in, they're like, We could have been going to play basketball or whatever, like, but trying to go to the mall, and then we would just sit down and they start laughing from beginning to end. That movie was great.
I loved how it was a spoof of like all of the Hood films,
all of the Hood films
put together, and you could literally scene by scene see exactly where it's taken from. And it had, someone had to take the piss out of it, do you know what I mean, because it was just like, sometimes it's just a bit, it is silly, even though it's reality. But it was nice that they were able to see the funny side, as we were talking about, the tragedies into comedy. I think that's what I really appreciated. And like you, I didn't watch it until much later. And in high school, it was big. Like, literally, kids would recite word for word, phrases from there. Even to the point where I hadn't seen it yet, but I knew a lot of the phrases before I'd even seen it.
We have a problem.
It was just so silly. And I don't know how... Marlon managed to keep that face twisted like that throughout the whole film. Like that must have been very achy.
Everything about the movie was amazing.
Had you seen any other Wayne films before that?
Yeah, I seen all before that. Not really. I didn't know I'm a Get You Sucker was theirs and stuff like that. Well, that was more of him and Robert Townsend, right?
Yeah.
I think Don't Be a Menace was their first film. Their first family film. But before that, I think it was him, Robert Townsend, and like maybe other a couple other people. They wrote like Hollywood Shuffle and what is it? I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, and then like one other thing. But I think I'm gonna Get You Sucker was probably the Don't Be a Menace to like my mom and all of them. But it didn't resonate with me the same as Don't Be a Menace, even though there was similar humor. Like, I was just talking to Adam, and we were, off camera, we were talking about how sometimes you can reuse certain materials as a comic, as a writer, as a director, whatever. So certain tropes that they use, like the too much gold thing where the guy died of too much gold. They kind of brought that back. When... there was like, oh, his dad disappeared. And it was just like his dad, a bunch of gold chains on, no face, like you couldn't see who he was. So they used that joke again. And I didn't know. I thought that was the first time they used that joke. And then you go back and you go, oh, they got it. They did it right that time, but they was able to bring it back and do a callback.
Because it's
still relevant. So it just let me see the black brilliance, right? Because you see all these great comedy white films like the Monty Python films and all that stuff, and I think the Wayans brothers are up there.
Oh, absolutely. And what they've done for the culture, like over decades, to bring each other in, to work together. So I mean, like, as someone who works in telly, and to see their see the credits and to see executive producer and see all the background stuff that they do as well, it's just so refreshing and so nice. And for them to be consistent enough to do that over a long period, I'm just in absolute awe of them. Like, and you don't realize how, you might take it for granted, actually. You don't realize how much they do until you really look at their body of your work and you're like, oh my God.
You're like, God damn.
Oh my goodness. Do you ever stop working?
My Wife and Kids was great.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That was a great show.
Fantastic show.
I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Can I say that? Yep.
Okay.
Say it.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
They did a lot. They were great, man.
Yeah.
I wish, that makes me wish I had some funny siblings. Like, my siblings are funny, but like, I don't think they would sit down and write it out.
It's commitment as well, and having that same level of work ethic.
Yeah,
because you want to work with your family, but as we know, not all family can be worked with.
Maybe I'll just meet a bunch of people. We start a cult and all have the same last names. We just agree to.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah,
here for it.
Yeah.
Watching Don't Be a Menace, I also realised that the character Dashiki, she was literally like the ground zero of Regina Hall's character in Scary Movie. It's literally the same person.
Exactly.
Like, which I just thought was great. And I hadn't realised that until rewatching it again for this podcast. But I was just like, I love that, actually, because I love Regina Hall. I think she's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, no, she was... Her, Anna Faris.
Oh my God, scary movie.
They were a great team.
Oh,
they were a great comedy team.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see more movies with them together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's probably one of my favorite Wayne film.
Man.
Yeah.
Like Scary Movie 1, your 2. Which, when did you jump off board? I think I jumped off board when they stopped doing them.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one that Kevin Hart was in.
Oh no. 3,
right?
I don't think I watched that one then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
that was. It was still funny. It was. That's when they started using.
Was that the one when Kim K was in it? Or maybe I did watch it.
Yeah, I think Kim K was in it. It was Anthony Anderson. Charlie Sheen. I think once Charlie Sheen started being a part of them, then it just.
Yeah,
the Wayans didn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It became like a Naked Gun feel. Remember?
Yeah,
Naked Gun was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I did love Naked Gun.
But the Wayans were able to do like a sense of humor like that.
Yes.
But be like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with a
yeah,
twist.
Yeah, like they twisted. Yeah, but yeah. It's funny. Now but. It's hilarious. Yeah.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Is there any genre you would love to spoof apart from like?
Yeah, I know I'm gonna get called an Uncle Tom and all that stuff,
on this show.
I think that I wanted to do like a funny sleigh film.
Oh wow, like a Django. Django wasn't comedy, but it was.
Yeah.
Had elements.
Yeah. Like a Django, but more like a 12 Years a Slave.
Ooh.
But not as graphic.
Ooh,
but not
you're
graphic.
Going there. Okay.
But the reverse. Not the reverse with white people, but kind of like playing with when slavery was over and that transition.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? When things started to transition from when people found that when people found out they were free. Because not everybody found out they were free.
No, not
at the
same
time.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
They were still, white people still like,
we don't got no mail.
None. haven't got anything in my inbox. No. Yeah. No, we didn't get the memo.
Mail.
It's fine.
Yep. No, I'm sorry.
I think things are still as they are.
Anything? No.
All 5 years later.
No, you're still a slave.
Yeah. Sorry, next year maybe.
So I wanted to. I think there's something in there. I think there's there's something in that space. It just has to be.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like, what, like that part, like when things started to turn and all that stuff, and then also, we always get these Game of Thrones type shows, but we never really see like a black version of those two. And I think
I love fantasy and sci-fi
black
stuff.
People love fantasy,
and it's like why
we believe
we never...
in Jesus.
I think we're the original lovers of fantasy. Actually, pretty gullible if you ask me. But I'm just saying we are the target audience.
Absolutely.
So maybe we
like,
should
come on
be.
Now.
Yeah, I've always
like we can't ride no dragons.
We
don't got no
but
wizards.
But in the new one, they've done that. I've seen a few black people with blonde, white,
but it's
silver
still
hair.
Black people in a white world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to see like white, like black kings and queens and
in medieval times.
All that stuff, and they can have white visitors.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can have white people that come over and
they're like, "We gave you Wakanda. Get over it, guys."
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yes.
It's like, guys, we did this.
We did this.
So just calm down.
No, we need the whole thing.
And
I think there's space in that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it will take time, but we need to be behind the camera as well and doing the writing and having our own studios and doing this in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
So.
And not even on no spoof shit.
No.
Not even on any. I like.
Dead serious.
Yeah. I like pieces where there's black people, but it's also like you can close your eyes and then be like, I don't know what the race of these people are.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
It's just about
it's
the
just a story. Absolutely.
And it's not a piece of like, oh, we got to send this message. Mm. Like, black people believe in ghosts too.
You know? It doesn't need to be a black version. And that's been my argument that it's just a story.
Yes.
The race of the person is secondary because I can watch any film with any people from any race.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. That's secondary to the story, if that makes any sense.
No,
so
makes sense.
I don't know why they're always trying to make it when it comes to us about oh, it's a
like
black person.
Like the wizard's going to be like, "Yo, what's up?
Yeah, like
hocus pocus, motherfucker!
Break
like,
yourself!"
Yeah, they're going to be holding like, his wand like this or whatever.
And I go, "No, he's just gonna, you know, do the same."
Damn.
That's why there's a a book called Children of Blood and Bone. I don't know if you've heard about it, but I say it's a combination of like Black Panther meets Harry Potter. And it's kind of, it's based in Nigeria, and they've actually got a deal with Disney and they're going to make it into a film, and it's all about like a black,
like Blood and Bone.
It's Blood and Bone, Children of Blood and Bone.
Children, where did I get blood
and but the fact is that they're doing magic in there and everything, and I'm like, oh, finally we get to see, you know, they're gonna have African accents, and they've always, like, when it comes to us doing magic, it's juju, it's witchcraft. But when it's white people, it's it's fun,
it's
magic.
It's whimsical.
It's fun,
it's
magic.
It's pookity pookity.
So actually, it's like, nice. Ooh. Yeah, it's all dark and mystified. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, basically.
I'm going to look forward to it, too.
Yeah, I think it's
why
great.
Is it called Blood and Bone?
Oh, I don't know. It is it's a black author as well. She's young, brilliant woman. But there's a trilogy to it as well. So
all right, I'll check it out.
It's really good.
When it comes out.
I highly recommend it. Do you have, what's your funniest scene in that movie, even though there's so many?
Wow. Okay. I think my funniest scene is the grandma fight.
Oh my God, she's a badass.
Yeah, I think so. I think the grandma fight was the funniest scene because they were going toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she jumps. You talk about when she comes out of the bin and she's doing dead presidents kind of like.
Yeah, no, when she goes, you still hit like.
Oh, right, the beginning, right.
Yeah.
She's actually my favorite character.
Yo, she was great on 227.
Oh, yeah, she's just
that's
like.
That's the old lady from 227, I believe.
She's one of my favorite, like, she just has a little one-liners, but she executes them really well. Brilliant.
She's perfect in that.
Yeah.
Is that, it's where he's talking to us, where his dad is laying down the rules and regulations.
Yes. God. That's so twisted.
Yeah. You're going to shave the hair on my balls at night.
That's very twisted.
And then
twisted.
His dad is reading, and then he has to read his
dad. Oh my God,
story.
That was so troubling. That was really troubling.
It's so funny.
I was like,
but the satire in that kids are having kids, that they just, because that was true at that time.
Even when
I was younger, there were still like kids who were like, 16 with a child.
And
I'm
it was
like, you're
normal.
A child.
Yeah. It became normal. Like,
so for them to reverse it and be like, this kid is bigger than his dad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
I love the fact they had Vivica like 5 seconds in the film and that was it. She was like, you know, they don't have any positive black women. And I was like, true. This is my bone to pick with those movies, especially in the 90s, early 2000s. Like, you guys really let the black women down. I'm not going to lie.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they did that on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she was like, okay, I got to go. I'm out. What I liked as well was the message.
Message.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite things. Again, bringing in
what they don't
family.
Know is what they don't show.
As I was talking, the grandma's my MVP of the film. Who is yours?
The MVP of the film for me is Ashtray.
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic in that.
He's so good.
I don't think people give Sean that much credit of like how funny he can be in the film.
Yeah, no, he's brilliant. Even in White Chicks.
White Chicks, he brings it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's the straight guy. He's like the black Paul Rudd in these films.
Exactly.
Paul Rudd is dude in all the films.
Yeah.
And he's just good at letting the comedy pass through him.
And still being the serious one in the film. But I love that. So we will talk about all the Wayans brothers projects. Give me your top five.
Top five Dwayne Brothers projects. Damn. All right. Don't Be a Menace. Scary Movie 1, 2. I wouldn't count 3 as there. So, My Wife and Kids. Eleven. Whoa. Can I go?
Oh, you're gonna go
back
go.
And say, is it My Wife and Kids or Wayans Brothers the show?
Oh. That was really nice to see as well.
My Wife and Kids. Wayne's Brothers, the show was great, but My Wife and Kids.
Was just iconic.
Yeah, Tisha Campbell and Damon just made a great thing.
They did make a good connection on screen. Rank the following 90s hood films in order. Juice, Menace Society, Boys in the Hood, Higher Learning.
Damn. I got bad memory now. I'm going to put Menace to Society first. I think I watched that more just because when I fell in love with Don't Be a Menace. It made me study.
Okay.
Menace to society.
Yeah.
I say Menace to Society, Juice.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one?
Boys in the Hood, High Learning.
Boys in the Hood and High Learning, mm-hmm. But why don't you have what you call it on there?
Do it.
What? I always call it Lean on Me, but it's not called Lean on Me. The John with you smoke crack, don't you? Morgan Freeman.
What's that?
You smoke crack, don't you?
I mean, we need
he's holding him off the roof.
We need Adam.
I always call it Lean on Me, but it's not. It's Morgan Freeman.
A hood film.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman did a hood film. This is
what are you talking about? Morgan Freeman did a hood film. Denzel Washington did a hood film. Actually, Morgan Freeman's film was kind of a
Lean on Me.
Yeah, Lean on Me.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
We'll throw that one in
there. That one was kind of the same thing as Denzel's. What was Denzel's car like called? Like Hard Times or something like that?
I think I've
they heard. At one point all the top black actors had to play teachers who went back to the hood to teach and
of
was
course.
About to beat the shit out of these kids.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to help you, goddamn it.
I'll whoop your ass. So now we're moving on Hard Lessons.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah.
God, I thought I'd seen them all.
Yeah.
I've got homework to do.
So,
So now we're moving on to the quick fire round.
Quick fire.
Which is more like filling in the blanks.
Okay.
We've switched up a little bit. So I'm going to say a sentence.
And close my eyes.
Do what you got to do. So whatever comes to your mind first. The actor I loved most as a kid was?
The actor I loved most as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I'm gonna say Jim Carrey, but it gotta be somebody black though. I'm gonna say Will Smith.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that. The actor I respect most in 2023 is
Don Cheadle. Love Don Cheadle.
Why do you love? I love Don Cheadle.
Man, I love Don Cheadle because he stayed his path. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I've seen most of his movies.
Mm.
You know, even Traitor. Like, you ever seen Traitor?
No.
Where he's like a part of, like, the, I don't know if it's like CIA or whatever. He's like an undercover agent. And he gets stuck in it. Like, the person who's supposed to get him out gets killed. So now he's stuck in that role.
Oh, shit.
And, like, now he's, like, fighting for his way out. And there's, like, a double cross thing where think he snitched on, like, they basically think he like caused treason and traitor in America, and it's also like he's doing action in that movie.
Oh, brilliant.
He's like,
wah, 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 wah. I love
and
it.
This was before Don Cheadle became Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
I think he's like the Black Philip Seymour Hoffman, where he can just kind of morph into anything.
Oh, okay.
And now that he stepped into this space of comedy, and he's just as great.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Have you seen Black Monday?
Black Monday?
Oh,
I've seen Black Monday.
Black
Have you
Monday.
Seen House of Lies?
Yes, House of Lies, brilliant
okay,
as well.
Yeah. So
I
say Don Cheadle's probably one of my favorites because just to watch his journey and then what he's become now.
Yeah.
And, like,
and he does actually really great, like you were saying, from comedy to drama roles. Like, I love it.
Yeah
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I agree. Blank is Spike Lee's best movie.
Malcolm X.
Love it.
Yeah.
Why Malcolm X?
Because it's like a 3-part movie. You see 3 different points of this dude's life where you see like him being like him as a kid and what drove him to be a pimp and go to jail and how his life was over and then how he rebuilt himself to become this prominent black figure but not that just went on to change like lives of African Americans but just everyone.
Yeah,
you know what I
exactly.
mean? Just to watch that transition and Spike Lee capturing that.
Mm.
Like, it's to the point where, like, the guy who played, like, I'm saying the guy, Denzel.
The guy. You better put some respect on
that. I know, right? I was like, the guy.
Uncle Denzel. Because
the point I was trying to make was that people will confuse Denzel as the real Malcolm X.
No, yeah.
They were
the
showing
point.
Me that movie
yeah.
in school,
yes.
and I'm seeing Denzel and other things like, oh, Malcolm X still acting. Malcolm X didn't die.
He's still here. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So no, I say yeah. Malcolm X. Hurricane.
I love Hurricane. That's a lot of people Denzel. Don't talk yeah, about yeah, that, yeah. but that's one of my favorite Denzel yeah. movies.
When you grow up in foster care and group homes and stuff, they make you watch a lot of black people on hard times movies. A lot of black people locked up, dealing with oppression and shit, because they're like, hey, get used to this.
Oh my God.
We need you to watch. we need you to get this persistent shit, right? That's my type of humor, people.
Oh my God.
It's okay. Like, hey, I need you to tap.
I need you,
to,
yeah.
It's just, like game just, tape.
Yeah. That's some real manipulation going on there. Lovely. Love it. Best fight scene in a film is?
Best fight scene in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is, but it has to be a black film.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. It has to be a black film.
Or Blade, with a black,
there's yeah. a Blade count.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think, what's that Blade? Have you ever seen Blade?
Of course. I love Blade.
What's the one where he's fighting his father?
Is that the third one?
I think that's the third one. Yeah, that trilogy?
Yeah, he's fighting his dad? Trilogy, yeah.
That fight where he's in the room, and they got, I'm trying to remember it. Damn, this probably ain't my favorite if I can't remember it.
But just say Blade, that's fine.
I'm going to say Blade.
Just say Blade. He has some really, really good fight
yeah,
scenes anyway.
Anything Wesley Snipes is absolutely. In and he's kicking ass is the best fight scene. How did he learn all that shit?
Like so good as well. Yeah. He wasn't like doing the shit black person's like martial arts.
Yeah, he wasn't like proper. Come on, sucker.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Nah, he was actually, yeah. I
did, was he a martial arts guy before?
That's
he a martial arts dude? Before and then he got into acting, or did he learn it like while he was acting?
I think he was, as a kid, did it. I think
That's really good to know. That's why really he does good. It so well. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
when it comes
anything
natural.
He's in.
Yeah. yeah. Denzel, Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. Yeah.
One of my faves. Good fight scene. I really like. I know this is off track, but the fight scene with Common and John Wick, Keanu Reeves in the.
Yeah,
I thought that
was really good. Yeah, John Wick 2. John Wick. Three, right?
Three,
the fourth
yeah.
one just came, out.
Yeah, it was three. Yeah. I thought that was a really good.
Yeah, I didn't know
scene.
Common
could
be choreographed like that.
That's my really pathetic version.
Yeah,
of
what was that?
I don't know. It that's as good as it gets, guys.
That was Wing Chun right there.
And this is a bit of a saucy one. Best sex scene in a film is?
Best sex scene in a film is. There's so many goddamn sex scenes in black films, especially growing up.
Yeah.
The one that sticks out to me is Jason Lyric.
Okay.
Because I remember my mom covering my eyes. She's like, you can't watch this. And I guess it's graphic. Isn't they outside? They fucking on the side of the convenience
shit.
Store.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one I watched.
How's that
young?
Romantic? That's crackhead. Next to a convenience store? Outside?
Listen.
Not in a car?
It's not right, but it's okay.
I guess.
I don't know. Every time I think of sex scenes, I always think of the funny ones. I never think about like the actual,
the graphic ones.
Yeah.
Or just the ones where there's a connection.
Yeah, yeah. I always just think of the silly ones.
What's the funny sex scenes?
I don't know. Like usually in comedy films or like the coming of age films, they always make like like the guy comes too soon or.
The wood,
yeah, in the wood yeah. and Eddie Murphy's always like, I just find Eddie Murphy, like in Boomerang, when he's trying to get all, it's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
I just find it very funny. Maybe I shouldn't.
No, okay. But. See, sex is serious.
It's serious? No.
I don't think nothing's funny. That's funny. She's like, the funny sex scenes. I'm like, what's funny?
What's funny? It's funny.
Nah, I get it.
The film with the best soundtrack. This had a really good soundtrack, Don't Be a Menace.
Bad like, Boys 2?
Yeah. That was good.
Bad Boys 2 soundtrack is so legit that it's a good album.
Yeah, yeah, on its own.
American Gangster. Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
Soundtrack is so. See, those are some of the best songs 50 Cent has created. Like Hustler's Ambition. You heard that song?
Yeah.
Song is great.
Yeah.
Song is it's the my life anthem. Yeah. I never sold drugs in my life. But it makes me wonder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am, for some reason, when I'm listening to music, I'm a drug dealer.
I'm like, what you need? like, I got whatever you need. I don't at all. I don't even know how to get it.
Paracetamol's as good as it gets for me. the film I love, which no one would expect me to, is?
okay, and it still has to be a black film.
Mm.
The film I love that no one expects me to like.
I don't know what that would be for me.
I don't know what that would be for me. I think people expect me to like all the weird shit.
We like all the black movies. I love all every single one of them.
No, I still try to convince my friends that Madea's Boo was funny.
Okay.
I went to see Madea's Boo and I laughed a bunch of times. Remember that? Her first Halloween movie? His first Halloween movie. But Madea's like a separate person to me. Like, I grew up watching the plays. Like, remember?
I haven't seen any Madea's.
You never seen any of Tyler Perry plays?
No.
Okay, so I grew up in churches, like the church culture,
mm-hmm.
and bootlegging is very popular.
Oh,
they're supposed to be godlike,
well.
But y'all stealing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all some thieves.
It's okay when they do it.
Yeah, it's okay when they do it.
It's okay, it's fine, it's different.
Yeah,
it's
so different. The most bootlegged thing when I was growing up was all of Tyler Perry's plays, and all his plays were funny.
Okay.
Like, I'm talking about room applause. I didn't even know plays could be. I remember the first time I went to see a play, I was so let down.
Oh,
because
you just,
Tyler Perry shit had people wrote like you didn't watch Tyler Perry's plays and people would be like, ah, like giggled over it, and then I go see one of these Broadway plays. I'm like, this shit ain't funny.
This is not funny. that would have been.
Yeah, so I remember watching all of his plays, bootleg tapes of him killing, and then going to see Madea's There's me and a bunch of comics. And I swore I seen other people laugh. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, this shit kind of funny. I think this scene's funny. Ah, damn. You know?
That's interesting. Blank is the comedian I would most like to work with.
Blank is the comedian that I would... It'll probably be Damon Wayans. But does it have to be stand-up comic? It'll be either Damon or Keenan, because I want to learn how to write like that.
Yeah, they're absolutely talented.
Man.
That's a good answer. Mm. Well, thank you. That's a quick fire round. And
quick fire.
And for those people who haven't seen Don't Be Menace, Wild, what scene would it be that you would show them to entice them to watch the movie?
The first opening scene, just that scene. That it just shooting. Sets the whole movie, just the shooting.
Yeah.
It opens so ridiculous. It opens with a... this is the humor from here on out.
Yeah.
Like, you see someone get shot. And then...
it's someone's birthday.
It's on someone's birthday. Then the fan, like, everybody comes around. The mom makes everybody move and then goes, just say, I don't know this kid. And then just drops his head on the ground and everybody leaves. That's hilarious.
It's wild.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's so many jokes in that and so many reasons why that's funny.
It's not the one I would show. No, it's the one I would show. I'm saying another scene that I really enjoyed, because throughout the whole film, it's all about messages. But that ER scene, you know, the emergency room when he goes in and he's like, you have to fill out these papers. Someone's burning in the corner.
Someone's
stuck in a skeleton. I just was like, again, turning tragedy into comedy very well. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we have our own issues here. Yeah. Let's not get started. But the USA, pretty bad.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like, in terms
of... we fine.
We
fine. We ain't doing bad.
I know, in terms of, like, their medical... looking after people. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like...
yeah.
Having... really annoys me every time I see something like that. People are dying, literally.
So, it's different over here? Like, you can just go to the hospital?
We have the NHS. Way.
So you can just go to the hospital and get seen, and they'll treat you like you matter.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to throw a bunch of paperwork at you.
No.
Oh wow.
And you know,
I don't believe it. I want to. I think
you're going to hurt yourself.
I'm
going to
hurt myself. I'm just fix this. I just want to see.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You might be waiting for hours in emergency.
Room, okay.
But you'll get seen. You'll get treated. Mm-hmm. You'll be helped.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah. So come over here. You'll get looked after.
Look, I'm coming here more.
The shop scene as well.
Shop scene. The shoot.
In the Korean. Well, I wouldn't say Korean, but the Asian.
Yeah. When they shoot, they have the shootout.
But the white guy is stealing stuff.
Yes.
Robs the the counter.
That's funny.
But he's following the black people. The amount of times that happens, and it's like, don't worry about me. You need to keep your eye on this person over here. They're the ones doing the.
And you know what? Yeah, that still happens.
They still, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's funny how they were able to pick up all of these black experiences and put them in one film.
And put them in one film. Yeah. And yeah, and make it, and keep it funny.
And keep it funny.
And keep it funny for everyone. Yeah. I try to get so many white people to watch that movie when we like talk about our favorite comedies.
Yeah.
And I go, don't be a menace. And they go, what? Really? And I go, y'all don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm like, just watch it. It's not a movie where you gotta know black culture. It's just a funny movie.
Which is what we're talking about. I feel like black films have that stigma of like, it's just for black people and other films don't. Yeah. But
I think that's on the network who packages them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, did you notice Netflix doesn't do the, or at least over
in America,
they don't do the black experience anymore. They rebranded it. It's called like People of Color something.
Oh no, we don't have that. I think we still have the black experience. Yeah, even though I get annoyed with that, I'm like, what are you doing? Come on, it's just for everyone.
Yeah,
like,
just if it's a rom com, it's a rom com.
That's it. Just put it in that genre and keep it moving. It's very annoying
because it deters people. People go, I want to watch this. I don't know if it's for me.
Yeah, and that's what often comes out of our film club is that every time we have a complete diverse audience. And a lot of the time, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know I had missed this movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this person was a great actress. Or
thought it was a black movie. I'd be watching Bollywood films.
I grew up on Bollywood films, absolutely.
Have you seen Triple R?
I don't know them by name.
Oh, you don't know by name?
No, I don't know them by name.
You probably get confused. You're like, what the fuck?
Which one? I just watch it, if that makes any sense. You know, those films that you just kind of put on.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun, lighthearted, nothing too serious, very dramatic. Yeah. But I'm here for it.
I watched it. There's one called, I don't know if it's called Triple R or whatever. It's just three R's in a row. RRR. And it's a four-act movie.
Oh, my
Lord. It's like 3 hours. Okay, like 3 hours and 20 minutes.
No film should be over 2 hours.
It's great.
Okay,
Everybody got an origin story in this movie. They start one story, and then when you get attached to this person, they switch it off and then go to the next person, and then they show you how it all comes together in the end. And then right before it makes this point, it just starts. Everybody just starts dancing.
I love a dance.
Yeah.
Love a group dance. I'm here for it.
I love it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Have been an absolute pleasure. I know you've got a busy schedule. He's here to see the rest of London.
I got
to
see the rest of London.
I'm keeping him here all to myself.
I gotta go. All right.
What are you doing after this?
After this, I think we're going to get like tea.
Love it.
Yeah. What is it called? Sundowners. Is it called Sundowners?
High tea.
Oh shit, we was told it's called Sundowners.
No, I was tea. I was like, oh shit, I don't know this.
It was Sundowners. Okay, so high tea. What does that mean?
Afternoon tea. Okay. High afternoon. Maybe it's because it's right when the sun's the highest.
Oh, okay. So around very that, like, literal
3 o'clock,
here.
Yeah, that 3 o'clock mark is the
Okay, so we're gonna do that. Gonna see Big Ben. What is it? Tower Bridge. You're gonna walk everywhere.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
you're gonna enjoy it. Hope
take some pictures with some double decker buses.
I'll do it. Wild.
Does that make us now? Like, I used to judge people so much.
No, I'm the biggest tourist.
You taking a picture of this dumbass bus? Now I'm in London. I'm like, this is a bus.
I'm the biggest tourist when I go anywhere. Anyway, got to make sure you get all the sights in. But thank you so much. Can't wait for you to come back, and I'll be able to join you in the next show. Wish you all the absolute best in everything you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.